So, did all the kids get plenty of eggs? Awesome. Or did any of you, Dad, did you steal some of them, Jim? All right. That's one of the big 10, by the way. You're not supposed to do that. So I want to tell you, yesterday, my grandson played his third Little League baseball game ever. And I was watching. Now, this, coached by our very own Chris. Chris, raise your hand back there. There's Coach of the Year right there. So this was the other team. I want to make that clear. But I was watching. Have you ever been to a five-year-old baseball game? Isn't it a hoot? I love it. The one, there's, you know, they hit and then they don't know where to go or what to do. And one yesterday was there was a player on second. And the guy hit it and the little boy ran. And the one on second wasn't running. And that one just passed him, man. He just kept going. But I was watching the catcher from the other team, and he had the gear. I mean, he was suited out, man. He had the gear, and he had the stance. And it was coach pitch. So the coach pitched the ball, and he's like this, and it landed right beside him. He never moved. Pretty much the whole game, he never moved. But he had the equipment, and he had the stance. It made me think about us. Paul says to the church in Corinth, he says, I'm not going to talk to you as adults, mature. I'm going to talk to you as infants because you're still mature and immature in Christ. Are we moving on to perfection? Are we maturing? I was thinking also the Wiley All-Stars last year. Remember, did anybody watch the Wiley All-Stars? And the little girl that was the catcher, I bet when she was five, she did that, and it just went right by her. But she was good. Something happened between five and, say, 11. She matured. She learned the game. She figured out how to do it. Are we moving on to perfection, church? Are we maturing? Are we still on milk? I hope that convicts us. It convicts me. May we press in today. May we mature today as we worship Him. Pray with me. Father, thank you for being patient with us. I thank you, Lord, that you're patient, but that you want us to move on to perfection. You want us to be in pursuit of holiness, your standard that you have set for us. Father, may we not just be dressed up in uniforms, but Father, may we understand how to engage in the game. Lord, send your Holy Spirit in this place. Stir our hearts this day. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up as we celebrate how you feel about us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand if you're able as we worship.
Because I know it's true. love the story of Jesus Christ. It's Palm Sunday, we remember as he rode into Jerusalem, the people saying, Hosanna.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning. Thank you.
Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. And you may be seated.
Well, we have a new family joining this morning. Where are we going to put the McKays?
I don't know.
You guys come up. Y'all can just, I'll come to you. How's that? Bill and Patsy McKay and all the kids. I love it. It's joyful, joyful. Bill and Patsy, you guys have already professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and been baptized in that faith, and we receive that. Is Jesus still your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And will you be loyal to our church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes,
amen. Amen. Welcome to our church family. Y'all can go be seated. If y'all will make sure this family is greeted before you leave, Miss Carlene, take it away.
On. There it is. All right. All right. What a joyful day. Are y'all excited today?
Yeah.
Yay. We had a praise parade, didn't we? Were we praising God and celebrating? Yes. And so today, as we walked in, we were waving palm branches. Does anybody know why we were doing this morning? Ryland. Right. They were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who, son of the highest, blessed he who comes in the name of the highest. That's right. So this is a reminder. We did this today as a reminder that Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day over 2,000 years ago. That's a lot of years. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. But Jesus... And I have a picture of here. You see Jesus riding into Jerusalem. I don't know if y'all can all see it, but Jesus is riding in Jerusalem. The people waved the palm branches, and they made him a path with palm branches, and they made their cloak. They were so excited for Jesus to come, and they celebrated him, and they were joyful. Were we celebrating Jesus this morning?
Yes!
Yes, we were. But Jesus knew what was going to happen that next weekend. Do you know what was going to happen the next week? Yes. Jesus was going to be arrested, and he was going to be nailed to a cross, and he was going to die, and they were going to put him in a tomb. But Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to go into Jerusalem that day, knowing that people would celebrate him. And at the end of the week, they would not celebrate him. But is that the end of our story, that Jesus died and he was in the tomb?
Yeah.
No. What's the end of the story?
The angels what?
The angels rolled the stone away. And when they got there, who was in the tomb?
Hey.
What? No one. The tomb was empty because Jesus arose from the grave, right?
Yeah.
So Jesus loves us so much. And God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus for that purpose, to come into Jerusalem and be celebrated, but knowing what was coming at the end of the week. And we can celebrate. Do we just celebrate today?
Yeah.
No, we do celebrate today, but do we celebrate tomorrow?
No.
Yes, we do. Do we celebrate Easter? Do we celebrate Jesus every day?
Yeah.
Yes, and we need to remember to celebrate and rejoice that Jesus loves us so much that he died on the cross to take our sins and paid the price for our sins. Are you excited about that?
Yes.
Okay, say Hosanna. Say Hosanna for me, okay?
Hosanna.
One more time.
Hosanna.
All right. Well, we can remember that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad, okay? Let's rejoice and be glad, not just today, but tomorrow, next week, next year, because Jesus loves us so much that he did this just for each one of us, okay? Let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that as we remember that you sent your son Jesus for each one of us, and you knew that, and Jesus knew going into Jerusalem that day what was coming at the end of the week. But God, you have a plan, and you have saved us, and you love us so much that you were willing to give your son for each one of us. And we thank you for that. And just bless our time. Bless these boys and girls, and help us to remember to celebrate you every single day. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go.
Miss Carlene,
yes.
A bunch of kids. Boy, there's joy in the house of the Lord, church. Aren't you grateful for that? Well, welcome again. If you're worshiping with us online, God bless you. We're grateful that you're with us this morning in spirit. If you want to register your attendance at some point, you can do that through the app. A couple things coming up. Our Last Supper presentations, drama presentations, are this Wednesday and Friday at 6:15. We will have a meal Wednesday night at 5. Pizza and salad, so join us for that. And also Easter's next Sunday. We will duplicate pretty much what we did today without the egg dash. So we'll have a breakfast in between two services. Come back and join us for that as well. Would you stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I want to remind you, immediately after the service this morning, we will have some people available for prayer up front. They will have a name badge that says prayer team. And so please don't leave this place if you need prayer for something this morning. Our folks would love to pray for you. Today is our church's day to pray for the city of Abilene. We do that on the 10th of every month. We're joining 27 or 28 other churches and just praying for God to continue to move in our community, bless our community. And today is our day, and so I want to focus on praying for that as we pray, and I invite you to join me. Let's go to the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, you rode into Jerusalem, meek and mild. Someday you're coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lord, you're going to bust through the clouds and every eye will see you. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus that loves us. So, Father, today we lift up our community, Lord. I thank you for our city leadership. I thank you for the leadership of our school systems. I thank you that there's men and women that love Jesus that are at the top. And I pray for more wisdom for them as they navigate the challenges of our day in our community, in the city, and in our schools as well. Lord, would you bless them? Would you give them supernatural wisdom for things that are on the horizon? And Father, I pray for those teachers in our school systems, the assistants, those who work behind the scenes, Lord, I pray you bless them as well. God, give them joy, give them favor. Lord, help them not to grow weary in doing good work there. Lord, I pray for our students. Lord, I pray for peace in those hallways, peace in those classrooms. Lord, I pray against what the enemy would try to do to rob these children of the destiny, God, that you have designed for them, for every one of them. Lord, I pray against that spirit of suicide in our community, in our school systems. Lord, protect those kids, protect those children, protect the teachers. Lord, I pray for the homeless in our community. I thank you for ministries like Love and Care and others that minister to them and love on them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for a system that's there to help get them off the streets. And Lord, I just pray you just draw those into you, into yourself that are struggling. Show them a different way, God. And I thank you for the opportunities we have to love on that segment of our community. Lord, I pray for the hurting. Lord, I pray for the sick. Lord, I pray for our hospital systems, our doctors. Lord, I just thank you for the wisdom that you've given them to work on the human body. Lord, just increase their knowledge. And Jesus, we declare ultimately you are the healer. And we would love to see you get involved in those situations of people who are hurting, people that are ill. And Lord, I lift up the church. Father, there's a community out there that don't know who you are. There are a number of people that are trying to solve their problems in so many different ways. They have no idea, Jesus, that you're their answer. And they're not going to know unless we tell them. They're not going to know unless we show them. So, Lord, I pray that the church in Abilene, Texas, truly becomes, if we're not already, truly becomes a city on a hill. That people can look at us and they can see life there. I just think about this city on a hilltop and it's dark and people see that and they know that there's probably life there. Lord, may that be said of us, that there's life there. God, I pray for revival to break out in Abilene, Texas. Lord, I pray it start at Wiley Methodist Church. Lord, change people's lives for your glory in our community. And we just thank you for placing us here for such a time as this. Oh, you're such a good, good Father. And we thank you for opportunities to celebrate your goodness. And we see your goodness displayed in your Son. And we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We will go ahead and receive our offering at this time, if you'd like to bring one forward, or you can give electronically. God bless.
Ashamed of what I've done, what I've done.
though we may fall. And though I fall, you can make me new. And from this death, I will rise with you. Oh, the grace reaching out for me. How can it be? How can it be? You plead my cause. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You give your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. Yeah, you plead. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. All know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But I love that next verse as well, John 3:17, for God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. This morning, God loves you. And there's nothing that you could ever do to make God not love you. And he's forgiven you. He's already paid the price. And he came to save you, not condemn you. So turn your heart to him this morning. Thank him for his love and grace. For he's a good, good father.
Oh, and I heard a thousand stories of what they your life, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. Can you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone? You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. I am, it's who I am. quietly speak peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love.
Good morning again. As Billy's already welcomed our live stream audience, I want to welcome you as well. If you are our guest this morning, we hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Hope you feel the love of God. Hope you feel the love of His people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It says, guest, has a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out. And I will be at the this end of the foyer after the service. We'd love to meet you. I have a free gift for our guests as well, so hope that you will join me there. Turn with me to Luke 15. Luke 15, beginning in verse 11. Before, I want to kind of set this up. Jesus, these are going to be the words of Jesus. He's actually telling three parables in a row, and we're going to pick it up with the third of the three. But the first two parables, he's dealing with lostness. The first one, the lost sheep, that you've probably heard the parable. There's the 100 sheep, and one is lost, and the shepherd leaves the sheep, and goes and leaves the flock and goes and finds the lost sheep and celebrates when it's found. And then there's a woman who's lost a coin, and she clears the house and she finds her lost coin, and there's also celebration there. And so we pick it up in verse 11 with the third of these three parables that Jesus tells us. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Speak in power and authority as only you can speak. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is lost and found, lost and found. When my oldest daughter, Kirby, was in kindergarten, she went to this campus just right down the street here. And we lived just a few blocks away, a handful of blocks away. And Cheryl and I were, this is back in my computer days, and Cheryl and I were both working full-time, and Jordan was around three, and she was in daycare full-time. And Kirby, when she finished kindergarten, the routine that we had every day was her teacher would get her on the bus at kindergarten and send her, and she would go to the daycare that we were using and would get off there, and then Cheryl or I would pick up the girls after we got off work. Well, one particular day, one of us went to pick up the girls at daycare, and Kirby wasn't there. And we said, "Where's Kirby?" And they said, "We don't know. She wasn't on the bus today." Well, we knew she was in school, so that threw it up a red flag. So we began to get a little bit nervous, and we went to the school, and we're looking around, and nobody knows where Kirby is. She's not there. We're looking. And by this time, the panic had set in. Not long. I kind of picture that. Anybody ever had a child missing for a little while? Pretty scary stuff. So we're kind of panicked. We don't know what to do, even where to look. We're driving around the neighborhood looking and all. And not long after that, this sweet little guardian angel lady that we didn't know comes pulling up to our driveway, and she has Kirby. And Kirby had somehow her teacher didn't get her on the bus, and so Kirby decides she's going to walk home at 5 years old. And she gets lost, and she's wandering around crying. And this this lady that didn't know Kirby, didn't know us, takes her to her house that just lived down a couple of blocks from us, takes her to her house, and I'm sure there were some snacks involved. And Kirby was fine. And she brought her and delivered Kirby to us safe and sound. And let me tell you, there was celebration for what had been lost that was found. This passage, these three parables that Jesus strings together, he's talking about the heart of the Father for lostness. So let's just jump right in. To go from lost to found, this passage is, I think the Lord is trying to teach us, to go from lost to found, we must acknowledge that we are a broken people. Acknowledge that we are in need. The prodigal son, it says he began to be in need. He began to be in need. The longer I'm in ministry, the more I recognize we're all messed up. Is this on? Anybody listening? None of us. Scripture tells us over and over, there is not one who is holy. There is not one who is righteous. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are a needy people. We are a broken people. And we must confess that we are indeed needy and broken. It says that he began to be in need. Sometimes we wonder, why does the Lord allow, you know, trials in our lives? Well, one thing is trials sometimes draw us to him. He began to be in need. So, leads me to my second point. To go from lost to found, not only must we acknowledge that we're broken people, but we must demonstrate remorse. Now, the word Scripture uses there is repent. We must repent. There, it says this prodigal, he began to be in need, and it says he came to his senses. He's squandered this wealth. First of all, the father had every right to deny him what he had asked. He asked for his inheritance, but while the father was still alive, the father could have said, no, wait your turn. But instead, the father, out of his goodness, gave him his inheritance, and he squandered it on wild living. And then it says that because of the need that he had, because he recognized that he was a broken person in a broken situation, it says that he came to his senses. He was remorseful. He repented. We don't like that word, repent. I mean, I think our culture certainly does not like that word, because to repent means that somehow we don't have it together, that God does and we don't. And so the repent is to, like, be, one of the definitions I've heard over the years is to be sorry enough to quit. It's not just saying you're sorry, but to be sorry enough to quit. Whatever is separating us from the Father, he came to his senses. John the Baptist, as he's proclaiming this kingdom that was coming, he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Peter, in his first sermon, in Acts chapter 2, they ask him, he preaches this sermon, and they ask him, how must we be saved? And here's what he said, repent. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, not some of you, not most of you, every one of you, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. King David, Scripture is full of this. It's King David. He's committed adultery with Bathsheba. He's gotten her pregnant. He's had her husband killed. He's confronted with this sin. And in Psalms 51, if you want to see what David's response was, read Psalm 51. But one of the things that says is, he says, at once he's come to his senses, he's repented. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. He understands that he didn't have his act together, that he was undone, and he needed to repent before this for his heavenly Father. Third thing, to go from lost to found, we must return to our heavenly Father. So that this picture that Jesus is painting for us, and now I have explored, and to my knowledge, the best of my knowledge, it is okay to use the word poop in my sermon today. I'm just saying, okay? So I've haven't found anywhere where it says you can't do that. So it's been a while since I've preached on the prodigal son, but some of y'all have been here a while, heard that before. So the prodigal, he squanders the blessings that his father had given him, and then he becomes, he's in need, and he's feeding pigs. Now, if you just think about that picture, when you get in a pig pen and you're feeding pigs, you're bound to get some pig poop on you. Yes? And he's in that's the moment. It's almost like I can see him looking down at his hands, and it's kind of like they're covered, and thinking, he's come to his senses. It's like, I think I need to go back to the Father. He came to his senses, and he realized that he needed to return. He recognized that he had sinned against the Father, and he also recognized that, I believe he recognized the mercy of the Father. If he had this ruthless father, first of all, he wouldn't have gotten the inheritance that he asked for, and secondly, he wouldn't have been inclined to go back to this ruthless father. But he knew his father was merciful. I've shared this, but the Lord just kind of has painted this picture for me from my own journey. That moment when, you remember the black lights? Is this on? Anybody have black lights when they were a kid? Jim, I know you had a black light. You look like a black light dude. You probably had a peace sign on your shirt too. So a black light is like your room looks totally clean, and then you turn on the black light and you're like, oh my, this room is filthy. Everything in here is filthy, and there's stuff floating. You just see that stuff floating in the air and all with the black light? That's what I felt like when I was came face to face with the Lord. It's like He just shined this black light on me, and I was undone. I knew that I was unclean. I knew that I was not holy, and I was standing in the presence of one who is holy. And so to go from lost to found, we must realize that we're a broken people. We must repent, and we must be prepared to return to our merciful Heavenly Father. And here's the final point I want us to make, and I think this is kind of brings it all together. To go from lost to found, we must allow ourselves to be embraced and restored by our Heavenly Father. Now, so picture it. The prodigal, he's covered in the pig stuff. He smells bad. It doesn't say... Jesus isn't painting this picture where he goes back and he cleans himself up. No, he realizes that he's right there in the pig pen. He's wanting to eat what he's feeding to the pigs, and he comes to his senses and he says, I think I'm going to return to the Father. And I can just imagine that running down the road to his Father, he still smells and he's still covered up in it. You ever been there? Maybe not physically. You ever been there? He, in the state that he was in, he's returning to the Father. And I'm going to read these verses again. I think it's significant. The Father had every right, first of all, to deny the inheritance, which he did not. And secondly, he had every right as he saw the Son coming to go out to the road and say, stop. You have squandered your inheritance. I'm done with you. Away with you. But that's not what happened. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. Now remember the state his son is in, covered up, smelly. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. He was restoring him to the family. The robe and the ring and all of it, it's this symbolism of that you are royalty. You're being embraced back into the family. Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and let's kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. God's focus is not on condemnation for the lost, but on celebration for the found. You know, I believe that sometimes the church, the body of Christ, and this sometimes comes out of pulpits, I believe that we are doing the gospel a disservice, because what the world sees, and you'll hear people say all the time, and I talked about it last week, that especially in the younger generations, more and more people are saying they're unaffiliated with any sort of religion, and many of them are saying, I'm atheist or I'm agnostic. And I believe it's because we're not giving them the true gospel. Some people see, and this, some, like I say, sometimes this comes from the pulpit, some people see this God that zaps you when you're bad. But that's not the heart of God at all. That's not the God that changed my life. Is that the God that changed your life? The God that changed my life embraced me when I was covered up in the pig poop. It's the kindness of the Lord, Romans says, that draws us to repentance. God's focus is not on the condemnation of the lost, but on celebration of the found. I've shared this. This kind of struck me a year or two ago, and I've shared it several times, but it's significant, and I want you to hear it again. Mark chapter 10. Now, Jesus, I forget the exact number of times that it's recorded in the four Gospels where he's telling the disciples what's coming before they entered Jerusalem that last time. It's in the teens. Now listen to Mark chapter 10. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. That's significant. Again, so he's already done it once, or many times, but again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. Now, bear in mind, Jesus is leading the way into Jerusalem. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise. That's what awaits him in Jerusalem, but Jesus was leading the way. Why would he do that? Because he has a heart for the lost. Because he loves you. Man, that was life-changing for me when I got that. The Christian life is not just be good, do this, don't do that. I mean, he's calling us to the holiness and all, and that striving to be like him, yes. But what changes lives is the goodness, the kindness, the mercy of God. That's what changes lives. He'll clean us up later. You know, the prodigal son is covered in the pig stuff, and the father embraced him. And don't you imagine sometime before they had that feast that he kept, by the way, you might want to go take a bath. You son, you stink. But he didn't say go clean yourself up and then I'll embrace you. He embraced you, and then he probably called, hey, bring the water, boil the water. The parable of the prodigal son illustrates us the mercy of the cross. And just like the father, he had his arms out and he embraced the son. Well, Jesus had his arms nailed open for us. That's how much he loves us. He led the way into Jerusalem knowing what awaited him because he loves us. That's the message of the gospel. That's what we celebrate. That's why we're here. That's what brings us together. That's what gives us hope. They're nailed open for us. Colossians, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave you all your sins. He took them away, nailing them to the cross. I'll tell you, when that lady pulled up with Kirby, at that moment, Cheryl and I didn't care how she got lost. What had happened? All we wanted to do was just hug her neck, embrace her. Our daughter's home. She's safe. We love her. She's home. Nothing mattered except that she was found. So I want to invite you. There's two different prayers that I want to lead us through this morning. I've said this before, but, you know, we can go to church our whole life and not know that Jesus loves us, not know that Jesus that I'm describing. Standing in a garage does not make you a car. So going to church does not mean that we got it. I don't want anybody here this morning to leave that doesn't have it. It doesn't know that Jesus that embraces us. That's why I'm not working with computers anymore. That's it. Because I want people to know that. He changed my life. He can change your life. And we don't have to clean ourselves up. We just have to return home. So I want to, if you don't know Jesus like that, I want to invite you to pray this prayer just in your own heart. Pray this prayer with me as the praise team comes up. And I've got another prayer for those of us that already know the Lord, but we'll get to that in a second. If you want to know Jesus in that way, you want to return home to Him and be embraced by Him, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I'm lost without you. I confess that I've made a mess of things. I need you to save me. Forgive me of my sin and wash me as white as snow. I want intimacy with you, Jesus. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Make your home inside of me. Transform me into your image. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Perhaps you know Jesus, but, you know, the prodigal, I mean, it's obvious he knew his father. He knew the mercy of his father. He took advantage of that. He strayed. He made a mess of things. So he just needed to return to this loving father that he already knew. So if that's you, you know Jesus, but you just messed up. And you know that black light, you know what it's going to show. If that's you, pray this in your heart. Jesus, forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me for taking your love for granted. I return to you because I know you're merciful. Jesus, thank you for your nail-scarred hands that embrace me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Change my path. May I be the person you have created me to be. May you be glorified in my life. Pray it in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. As we close with this final worship song, the altar rail is open. Just a reminder, I will be out in the foyer. If you prayed one of those prayers, man, I encourage you, Billy and some others will be up front. For prayer, if anybody needs any prayer, I pray that you will share. Especially if you've made some sort of decisions, if you are returning to the Father, made any kind of decision, don't walk it alone. Share it with me or with Billy or with someone else. Rise if you're able.
Are you hurting and broken? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, well, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling me. And oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. And oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? We'll sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. As you wait for your crown, tell the world of the treasure you found. Bear your cross as you wait for your crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
He was still a long way off. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father said, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Do we need to celebrate, church? We have good news. We have a Father that loves us. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.